In the summer of 1988, Yellowstone National Park was engulfed in flames. TV coverage of the fires captivated the nation for months. After the fire was extinguished, plenty of thorny questions remained. What did those fires mean for the park's near-pristine rivers and lakes? And what is their legacy? Today, we begin a series taking a closer look at where water and fire intersect across the West. From KHOL, Robin Vincent reports from Jackson, Wyoming.
A better way to wake up in the morning.
Oh, my God.
The sound.
National Park Service hydrologist Aaron White is at Kepler Cascades, where white water plunges 150 feet into the Firehole River. The multi-tiered waterfall is flanked by a sea of mature lodgepole pine trees. Dotted in between are young trees that sprouted after the 1988 fires.
You can see some of the variation in the landscape and the types of environments that were affected.
The 1988 Yellowstone fires torched more than a third of the park and touched nearly all of its landscapes in some way. That meant
very few watersheds in Yellowstone were not impacted.
White likes to call Yellowstone America's first water park. It's home to the headwaters of multiple major rivers and hundreds of waterfalls. Thousands of geysers, mud pots, and hot springs gush, bubble, and boil here too. Because the 1988 fires focused the nation's attention on wildfire for months, soon after, scientists descended on the park to study the impacts. What they found reflects the fire's legacy of renewal. Small streams were affected in the short term with ashy runoff, but big bodies of water showed little change in water quality. That resilience proved important. Back then, saving and then recovering watersheds wasn't top of mind for overwhelmed fire managers. Human-built infrastructure was the priority.
Good morning. Those wildfires raging in the area of Yellowstone National Park show no signs of...
Very quickly, it became apparent that we did not have and could not have the resources to contain the fires, despite the best effort of thousands of firefighters.
That's Steve Fry, a former incident commander. He and his team were laser focused on protecting three things:
firefighters, the public, and those iconic developments within the park.
Icons like the historic Old Faithful Inn, built in 1903. Former Yellowstone historian Lee Whittlesey was a law enforcement ranger at the time.
Old Faithful was surrounded by fires on all sides, and I remember just being amazed that everywhere I looked for 360 degrees, I saw fire.
For Incident Commander Fry, the fires signaled a paradigm shift. They ushered in a new chapter of massive, frequent fires that communities across the West face today. And they expanded our understanding of wildfire's vital ecological process.
It was, for many of us in wildland fire management, something that we had never experienced before. But the magnitude and the fire behavior we have experienced a number of times since.
The subtext here is climate change. It's fueling longer, more intense fire seasons. Montana State University paleoecologist Kathy Whitlock studies how climate influences fire. She was in Yellowstone in the summer of 88, but she wasn't there for the fires. Whitlock was examining the history of the park's plants, and the fires were simply a nuisance.
I hadn't really even thought about fire as being something worthy of attention because there hadn't been fires in Yellowstone for a long time.
In the end, the fires refocused her career. She pioneered a way to trace back fire history thousands of years using charcoal from the park's lakes and streams. And she found that in many Western forests, wildfires have long played a key ecological role. But today, with a smaller window between fires, the concern is
there won't be enough time for trees to establish, for seeds to disperse.
In turn, forests could transform into grasslands. This all dials back to water. In 1988, Yellowstone saw a profoundly dry summer, priming it for megafires. It was the kind of hot, dry summer that will likely become more frequent in the years ahead, putting Yellowstone's wildfire resilience to the test. I'm Robin Vincent in Jackson, Wyoming.
This story is part of a series looking at where water and wildfire intersect in the West, produced by KUNC, KJZZ, KHOL, Aspen Public Radio, and Wyoming Public Radio. Support comes from the Walton Family Foundation.